Again, good morning, and thanks for being part of Echo Church Online. I know that so much in the world feels abnormal right now, so staying connected to the church family is so important. Even if you're new to the family, listen, there's a seat at the table for you, and we're so glad that you're joining us. As we begin, I wonder if you can think of a funny failure that you'd share with the rest of us online today. Perhaps it wasn't funny in the moment, but enough time has passed and it's perhaps funny now. Perhaps you used salt in baking and it was supposed to be sugar. Maybe you showed up on the wrong day for a really important meeting. Maybe you forgot to take off your house slippers and you didn't notice it until you were already in the store. Tell us one of your funny failures. Listen, I have plenty, but one that I still laugh about happened back when I was in college. I was asked to speak at a student ministry and I was crazy nervous. I walked up in front of the middle school students and completely forgot everything I wanted to say. Literally no words would come out of my mouth. The student pastor in the back kind of motioned for me to pray. In hindsight, I think he meant pray and collect yourself, then try again. I prayed as though it was the end of my message. I said amen, and I literally walked off. I was so humiliated. It was an epic fail. Some of our failures we can laugh about later, but let's be honest, some stick with us more than others. For a lot of us, we can't get past our big defeats. The title of today's message is this: Failure Isn't Final. It's popular today to write off people because of their worst moments. Most of us believe that failure defines us, whether it's how people treat us or it's how we see ourselves. We believe that our mistakes have the last word, but that's not how God works. He's the master of second chances. Jesus would say that we should forgive someone 7 times, 70 times. That's his way of reflecting the incredibly generous and full of grace heart of his Father. You may have messed up. You may have let people down. You may be disappointed in yourself, but hear me today. Failure isn't final. Maybe you messed up and failed, or maybe you just feel like a failure in an area of your life. Perhaps you feel like you're missing it as a parent. Maybe you thought your career would be further along at this point. Someone else, you feel like you just can't get relationships right. Another person listening, when it comes to finances, you just feel like a failure. Whatever it is for you, please hear me today. Failure isn't final. God has more for you than you can see today. If you believe it, why don't you type in all caps, failure isn't final. Someone may not believe it yet, or they understand it intellectually, but it hasn't reached their hearts. If God has done a powerful redemption work in your life, why don't you share your testimony for them? Let your faith pick them up today. Just type it right now, failure isn't final. Hey, just a quick note, if you need prayer or if you'd like to get connected, simply text the word STEPS to 94253 or click on the link in the pinned comment on Facebook and on YouTube. Wherever you're watching from, this is for you. Whether you're right here in Indiana with us, another state, or even another country, let us know how we can pray for you and what faith steps you're considering. And listen, we can help. As you join in, I want to ask you to do 3 really helpful things as we get started. You can hit the like button and that will help this video be found by more people online. You can comment and that serves as our virtual lobby where others can say hello, encourage you, or even give an amen to something you say. You can also hit the share button and help everyone in your sphere of influence to experience today's service. If we all hit the share button, we'll help more people participate each week. So let me encourage you to not just watch, but to actively participate as we go along. As you engage the message, I want to encourage you to download the echochurch.cc app where you can not only take notes and follow along with today's message, you can also find our message archives and watch older messages as well. Well, listen, I'm really excited to jump into part four of our series, Running with the Giants. We're learning from giants of our faith, people that face great trials and they turned to God and encountered the miraculous. We're facing tough days, but we aren't the first ones to have challenges. So we're learning from their examples so that we can grow in the midst of our own fires. Our anchor passage for the series tells us how to do this. Let's look at it, and why don't you read it aloud with me? Are you ready? Let's go. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Hey, if you read that with me, way to go. We're going to do that today. We're going to throw off what hinders and entangles us, and we're going to run with all we've got this race that God has marked out for each of us. Last week, we learned from someone you might not expect, and she taught us so much. This week, we're going to learn from someone you would expect, but not in a way that you would predict. His name is Elijah, and he's definitely a giant in the faith world. But even giants fall. Honestly, they fall harder. King David messed up big time. The Apostle Paul would call himself the worst of sinners. The prophet Elijah participates in some of the greatest miracles ever recorded, but he isn't perfect, which means he is the perfect person to remind us that failure isn't final. If you struggle moving past your past, or if you have a hard time forgiving yourself, Elijah has a lot that he wants to share with you today. If you go back to 1 Kings chapter 17, you'll see Elijah tell King Ahab that there will be a 3-year drought. Ahab was the king of Israel, but he did not follow God. Consequently, the whole land was receiving punishment. 3 years later, God sends him back to Ahab and says that there will be rain. But God wanted Israel to know who makes it rain and who holds it back. And Elijah would be God's instrument on display. He told Ahab to gather all 850 of his false prophets and to meet him on Mount Carmel. Elijah will stand on a couple mountains during our discussion today, and it's important to be able to tell them apart. When you think of Mount Carmel, I want you to think of Elijah at his best. You got it locked in? Mount Carmel equals Elijah at his best. Perfect. Now, Elijah tells the 850 false prophets to build an altar and allow fire to fall from heaven to burn up the sacrifice. The only problem is that nothing happens. Now, Elijah begins to mock them. He says, maybe your gods are thinking, or maybe they're traveling. Perhaps your gods are sleeping. My favorite taunt that Elijah gives is he suggests that maybe their gods are going to the bathroom. Listen, I'm serious. I can't make this stuff up. It's actually in the Bible. He says, your gods may be in the bathroom. They kept calling out to their false gods for hours. They danced around their altar. They even cut themselves with swords, but nothing happens. Then Elijah builds his altar. And he pours jar after jar of water on top of his altar. He wants it to be clear, only God can light up this sacrifice. And then he stops everything and begins to pray. Read it along with me. Here's his prayer. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord. Answer me that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, it says they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Soon the heavens open up and a great rain falls upon the land for the first time in 3 years. God moved mightily and he used Elijah as his representative. On Mount Carmel, Elijah was at the top of his game. In 1 Kings chapters 17 and 18, Elijah cannot be stopped. he performs one miracle after another. But in chapter 19, he falls on his face. He goes from unstoppable to missing in action. Seemingly overnight, the guy that stared down the king along with 850 prophets is running like a coward. Here's what happened. Soon after the rain comes, Ahab goes back to the palace and he tells his wife Jezebel what Elijah did. She is livid and she puts a bounty on Elijah's head. She swears to stop at nothing until he is dead. When Elijah hears of the plot, he just gets up and he runs for an entire day into the wilderness. Do you remember his faith-filled prayer just a moment ago? Elijah was calling down fire from heaven. This is the same guy. Look at his next prayer. He says this, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life." He literally prays to die. "It's enough, God. I've got nothing left. Just kill me now." Like, what happened to this false prophet slaying, take no junk off nobody, miracle performing Elijah? See, here's what I love about Elijah's story. He is a giant, no question, but giants fall hard. We have our giant moments, our chapters 17 and 18, if you will, but we also have our failures too. We all have chapter 19 when things are not going our way. Maybe we failed or we just feel like a failure. For Elijah, his failure follows his greatest triumph, which makes the sting of his downfall all the more disturbing. How do you get past your past? How do you forgive yourself? Where do you find the grace to extend your way when you feel behind in life? Elijah went from having his best day to having his worst day. But if Elijah were standing here today, he'd tell you this. What he'd come to learn in time is simply this: God still loves you even on your worst days. God still loves you even on your worst days. In fact, I think there are four things that Elijah would teach us about the kindness of God. If you're taking notes, jot this down. Number one, you can't disappoint God. Let me say it again. You can't disappoint God. Elijah was sure disappointed in himself. He was God's mighty prophet. And yet, when he faced death, he tucked tail and ran. When he finally sat down after running for his life, he was so overcome with grief that he asked to die. He was disappointed in himself, and surely God was disappointed with him too, or so he thought. But there's an important lesson here. Don't project your feelings onto God. Our disappointment comes when reality falls short of our expectations. But nothing catches God by surprise. So nothing falls short of his expectations. Listen, he isn't shocked by your mistake because God knows us. He knows us inside and out. He knows us from beginning to end, and he loves us completely. You can't disappoint God. Here's the second thing Elijah will show us. God knows what you need and provides. I know it sounds cliche, but lock this in your heart. When you are in your moments of greatest need, you'll be tempted to do it all in your own strength and find solutions that are less than God's best. Remember this, God knows what you need and he provides. Elijah was all alone and his energy was gone. He had nothing left in the tank. Now, a quick side note that I think is important. Elijah was on his own because he ran away. He chose to be alone. Truth is, when we fail, we allow our shame to drive us away from people. Also true is this, often when we want to be around people the least is when we actually need them the most. This is an old trick by the devil to isolate you in your shame. Don't fall for it. The Bible actually teaches us that when we open up ourselves with other followers of Jesus, that it brings healing in our lives. This is exactly why we have Echo Groups and why they're so important. Echo Groups registration will begin next weekend, and I want to have more people in an Echo Group this fall than ever before. Why? Because we all need community now, perhaps more than ever before. Elijah is all alone with nothing, and he's zapped of strength. God sends an angel to Elijah's side to provide food and water and rest. Soon he's strong enough to walk 250 miles over 40 days. Next, Elijah arrives at Mount Horeb, and he hides away in a cave. Mount Carmel represented Elijah at his best. Mount Horeb represents Elijah at his worst. He's been on the run for weeks. He's no longer full of faith. He's overcome with fear. When he finally arrives at Mount Horeb, Elijah is spent. God has filled up his body, but Elijah needs something more important. He needs a spiritual touch from God. Elijah had poured himself out at Mount Carmel when he faced Ahab and the false prophets. He's been on the run for days. Beyond his physical needs, he has a great spiritual need. Simply stated, he needs God. Here's the third thing that Elijah tells us from his own experience. When you're empty, let God fill you up. Do you realize that the God of the universe loves to meet and connect with you? God's favorite thing is to talk with you. God speaks to Elijah and tells him to come out of the cave. Soon after, a mighty rushing wind passes by. If you live on the west side of Indy, you saw a mighty rushing wind pass by on Monday evening. We knew a storm may come, and our whole family was watching a movie, and we noticed the trees beginning to sway. We rushed out to secure as much as we could outside, and soon it was pouring. I looked out front, and a neighbor was walking his dog as the rain and wind nearly swept him off of his feet. It's crazy. Elijah saw something even greater. But God wasn't in the wind. Soon an earthquake shook the foundations of the mountain, but God wasn't in the earthquake. Then a fire fell from heaven, much like the fire that consumed the altar back on Mount Carmel, but God wasn't in the fire this time. So often in life, we expect God to show up in our lives in ways that he did before, but God usually meets us in new and unexpected ways. God wants to have a new and fresh experience with you because God wants to build new and fresh faith in you. Then after all the wind and shaking and fire ceased, God spoke to Elijah in a whisper. Elijah had done stuff for God, but he hadn't spent time with God. And that was about to change. Now let me ask you a question. Why does God whisper? Think about it like this. If you crank up all the TVs in your house all at the same time, you probably couldn't hear one over the other. There'd just be this dissonance that you'd hear. But if someone leaned over to you in the middle of it and whispered, they'd cup their hand and speak in a frequency, you'd lean in to hear, and even with all the noise, you'd hear them. Why does God whisper? Because God won't compete with all the other stuff going on. He'll speak in a different frequency. God won't shout to be heard. He'll whisper to be encountered. He whispers because you will lean in. He whispers because God is close. God isn't trying to add to your life. He's trying to become your life. He's trying to move to the center, to be your first and your last, to be your constant guide and companion. And he doesn't have to shout because he isn't far away. He's right here with you. Maybe you've been running and wandering. You've felt lost and alone and desperate. You've been looking all around, but I'm telling you, God's been next to you the whole time. God whispers because he's close enough to be heard. That's why the psalmist says this, "Your spirit is everywhere I go. I cannot escape your presence. If I go up to heaven, you will be there. If I go down to the place of death, you will be there. If I go east where the sun rises, or I go to live in the west beyond the sea, even there you will take my hand and lead me. Your strong right hand will protect me." If you're empty, let God fill you up because he's close enough to whisper. And before leaving us today, Elijah has one more thing to tell us. And in keeping with what he learned from God, he'll whisper this final lesson to us. Even when we give up on ourselves, God will not give up on us. Your faith might fail, but God won't give up on you. God made you. God knows the purpose he placed inside of you. Elijah had fallen, but failure isn't final. Often, failure is an opportunity. If we leverage our mistakes, failure becomes the open door for us to experience God's steadfast belief in us. Do you know what God does next with Elijah? He gives him another mission. Why? Because failure isn't final. Elijah may have failed, but God doesn't give up on him. God tells Elijah to get back on mission because he has work for him to do. Elijah's faith soared on Mount Carmel when Ahab and the 850 false prophets watched as God showed up and showed off. Elijah's faith tumbled when he sat alone in the cave on Mount Horeb. But hear this, God loved Elijah just as much on Mount Horeb as he did back on Mount Carmel. And God loves you on your worst days too. God loves you just as much in your failures as he does in your successes. God's love isn't fleeting. God's love isn't based on your performance. God won't desert you when you're at your lowest. God will find you, pick you up, dust you off, and send you back in the game, because even when we give up on ourselves, God will not give up on us. God loves you. God put purpose in you. Failure isn't final. It's often the door we'll walk through en route to God's biggest plans for our lives. God isn't disappointed in you. God knows what you need and he provides. God wants to fill you up and God hasn't given up on you. If you need the wind of God to fill up your sails today, if you're ready to receive his goodness and mercy to remind you that your failure isn't final, that your best days are ahead, will you pray with me right now? Father, we thank you for your enduring kindness toward us. We thank you that you take us as you find us, but you love us so much you'll never leave us there. Today, God, we ask that you move us forward. Help us to believe what you say about us, to see what you see in us. We are loved and redeemed. We have great purpose and you've placed destiny in our souls. We know that our failure isn't final. We aren't behind. You've got so much in the days to come. We receive it today. Would you fill us up with your approval over our lives? Will you bring rest and renewal to our spirits? Will you reignite courage in us? And God, move us forward on mission with you. As we continue to pray, I want to pray specifically with a group of people today. You're ready to begin following Jesus. As you joined us today, you realize just how good and gracious God is. Let me share even more. The Bible says that every one of us has fallen short. We've all failed on hitting the target of God's best for our lives. The biblical word for this is sin. It doesn't mean you're a bad person, spiritually speaking. It means you're a dead person. You're spiritually cut off from God, and you can't save yourself. But here's the amazing thing. God stepped in. He made a way for us to find forgiveness and to be brought to life. He sent Jesus to die on the cross, therein absorbing the punishment meant for us. Jesus then rose up from the dead, making it possible for you to become spiritually alive. God did all of the work. All you need to do is receive it. Today, if you're ready to begin following Jesus, or perhaps you're returning back to God, I'm going to invite you to pray with me in just a moment. You don't have to pay for your sins. Jesus already did. Today, you get to receive God's forgiveness, and you get to walk a whole new way each and every day, walking with God's love in your life. If that's you, I want to invite you to pray with me. You can pray out loud or you can pray silently in your own heart. If that's you, would you pray with me right now? Don't wait, don't put it off. Today is your day. Pray with me right now. Jesus, I give you my life. I believe you died to forgive me. I believe you rose up from the dead to make me alive. And today I choose to follow you, Jesus. Guide me to follow you my whole life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, let me be the first to celebrate this important spiritual step with you. I'm so proud of you, and I want you to do something before you do anything else. It's really important. You cannot walk this journey with God alone. You need a church family. Right now, would you do this? Text the word STEPS to the number 94253, and on the form that we'll send you, check the box letting us know the spiritual decision you made. We'll follow up with you and we'll help you know your spiritual next steps. In fact, now is the time for everyone to do that. We all need help. We all need one another. Let's all text this number today and take steps towards health and wholeness. Let us know how we can pray for you. Let us know you're ready to join a group, or maybe you're ready to serve. Wherever you are, wherever you're watching, God has next steps for you, and we would be honored to help. In a moment, we're going to worship the powerful name of Jesus. Before we do that, let me remind the Echo Kids families out there that we have a special service on our YouTube channel for Uptown and Midtown kids. That's elementary and preschool. Also, if you'd like to give online, you can do so at echochurch.cc or on the echochurch.cc app. So many of you have been radically generous during this time, and I want to honor your faithfulness. You're doing an amazing job. In fact, there have been several new givers during this season, and we want to celebrate your generosity as well. Hey, we love spending time with you today. Follow Jesus with your whole life this week. Know that you are not alone. We are in this together. As we trust God with our lives, God is faithful to build us up. Remember this week, failure isn't final. God is just getting started with you. The steps you're taking today, this is the first step towards God's best for your life. And then let it springboard you to be God's hope to a world that is desperately searching. Come on, would you pray with me one more time? Father, we thank you for our time together today. Use it to draw us closer and send us to be your love to others this week. Use our tithes and offerings that others may experience the hope that is in our hearts. God, we worship you. You alone have our focus and our affection this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.